pastor was praying a few minutes ago, he talked about a song on our hearts. And this song has been on my heart for a while. And I asked Brother Allen, I'm not one to ask to sing, but I asked him if we could sing this one this morning. You know, in this life, we can get on people's bad side. But there's one person we definitely don't want to be on his bad side, and that's our Lord God this morning. So we always want to be on the right side of the great I Am.
A thief on each side, Christ was being crucified, paying the supreme sacrifice. But the man on the right side, he invited before he died to be with him in paradise. So if you ever wanna be on the right side of Calvary, you must go through the blood of the Lamb. And when you go through that crimson flow, it will wash you white as snow. You'll be on the right side of the great I Am. On that great and noble day, some will hear the Father say, depart from me, for I know you not. But everyone who's on the right side, he'll invite to go inside, cleansed by Calvary from every spot. So if you ever want to be on the right side of Calvary, you must go through the blood of the Lamb. And when you go through that crimson flow, it will wash you white as snow. You'll be on the right side of the great I Am. And when you go through that crimson flow, it will wash you white as snow. You'll be on the right side of the great I Am.
Appreciate that song. What a blessing. Let us be on the right side, which is the winning side. I want to say a couple things before we get to the scriptures this morning. It has been an absolute blessing to serve with Brother Don and Sister Carla since they've been in town. And I'm saddened that they're getting ready to leave town. They're going to be here for Jubilee, I believe. But it's back to the mission just after. And how the Lord has, my goodness, I mean, just every time you come, just a little bit more knitted together. We love you guys so much. We hate to see you go. But Lord willing, come August, if maybe might, trying to, the Lord works it out, come down and see you. And in saying that, that will be your 17 years in Peru, 15-year church anniversary. Is that right? All right. Feel good. I got that right. Doing good. And what a blessing. What a blessing they have been. And to not only me, but to the church. And have been working since they've been here. Brother Don got his knee replacement and knee stretched after that. And so appreciate them. I do want to say something along the lines of church attendance. I appreciate that testimony, Miss Amanda. My goodness, I feel the same way. I believe everybody does, that thirst and hunger. I will say this, we are living in a time frame right before the Lord comes. And people do not want to hear about God. And you, dear people, have come to hear from God. And I'm under the presumption and persuasion you want to hear more of God. And we want you to hear more of God. So we appreciate that testimony. But I want to say that we're seeing less and less attend every church across the world unless there's something in it for them that are attending that will gratify the flesh. You know, we're living in the last times. And in fact, Christy and I, when we were coming in, sometimes I feel uneasy when it comes to preaching against sin and preaching against, you know, things along those lines. You know, I just do. It's not comfortable for me. I'm out of my comfort zone. But, you know, it's needful. It has to be preached. The church has to be, the church itself must hear, and there must be preaching on sin to keep the church clean. The Bible says, and we'll mention it in the message this morning, I believe, will not finish the message, but in the New Testament, Paul deals with church discipline and church sin. And he says, a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. A little yeast makes, a little dough causes the whole loaf to grow. And a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. And you know that a ball of dough or an amount of dough, when it swells, creates a loaf and has the potential for bacteria and mold setting in. That's why at the Lord's table, I believe, it was unleavened bread, and it was the cup, and it wasn't alcohol, because unleavened bread gave the picture of that which was uncorrupt, as the same the cup did gave the picture of uncorruptness. But anyway, what I'm saying is simply this, is that the same way that bread swells and can contaminate over time is the same thing that can happen in churches. Therefore, it must be taken care of. It must be preached against, although at times it's uncomfortable. And always know this, anytime a preacher or pastor, Sunday school teacher, teaches on sin, preaches on sin, doesn't mean there's someone in mind. Doesn't mean that. It just means that the Lord is wanting the message presented. And so let's take our Bibles this morning and at least begin in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7 this morning. And the message this morning actually is going to be not really a part two of last Sunday morning. This is totally taking care of something different. But it is part of Joshua's journey. Because in chapter number 7, we see that Joshua is now at Ai. Joshua had just defeated, of course, the walls of Jericho had come down. And now Joshua and his men are at Ai. And some things happen at Ai. Since Joshua started his campaign and since the beginning of his leadership as director of Israel, it's been nothing but victory. Victory after victory after victory. And now they get to Ai, and something different happens at Ai. And I want you to try to follow along and see if you can see where I'm going with this, and we will bring about the message, the Lord willing. In verse number 1, I want you to notice Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even into Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Notice this. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I want to stop reading there in verse number 5. If you remember when the children of Israel, being led by Joshua, crossed the Jordan River, and God had rolled back the Jordan River upon a heap on both sides, and they made it clean over, that caused fear in the eyes of the enemy, and their hearts melted, the Bible says. In fact, it's recorded in chapter number 5. In verse number 1, that the phrase is there. It says, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. What a drastic change from the entering in across the Jordan River until now at Ai. Now it's Israel's heart whose heart is melting. Now their heart is filled with fear. They went from victory to victory to victory, and now they're suffering defeat in Ai. As you know, as we mentioned a time before, we'll mention it again for sake of introduction. We know that Joshua was challenged and encouraged by God in chapter 1 to take Israel where Moses left off and to lead them into Canaan. Chapter 2, the two spies were sent out. Joshua was doing some preparatory work. Chapter number 3 was the crossing of Jordan River. Chapter number 4 was the stones of remembrance. Chapter number 5, the manna stopped and the fruit of Canaan began. Also, it was a time of circumcision of those that were born in the wilderness, the new births, those that were born in the wilderness. And in chapter number 5 is where God rolled the reproach of Egypt off of Israel. It was a new beginning for them. And then last Sunday, chapter number 6, it was Jericho. And we know that Joshua received instruction about Jericho. And we know that Jericho was a restricted place. It was bolted and it was barred. Yet Jericho had to go, because Canaan land was Joshua's. Canaan land was Israel's. But yet there was a stronghold in Canaan land. Big old walls. It was a fortified place. It was a restricted place. It was a restless place, Jericho was. And so Jericho had to go, and we know that God reassured Joshua. He said that it's in your hand. You're going to have this territory. It's your land. We know that there was emphasis placed upon the presence of God because of the Ark of God. The Ark of God was carried around Jericho one time per day for 7 days. And then on that 7th day, it was to be carried 7 times. And then on that very last 7th time, on that 7th day, the walls fell down and the men went in. And the only survivor was Rahab and her family, because she accepted the spies. Now, there was something within Jericho, although they accomplished Jericho. They took Jericho. They won Jericho. They got the victory over Jericho. There were the accursed things within Jericho. There was the gold and there was the silver. And possibly there were molten images and that was used for idol worship. Nonetheless, the Bible says, the Lord said to Joshua that the accursed things were not to be taken individually for personal use, but they were to be taken for the Lord's treasury, the silver, the gold. And so we see that there was a victory in Jericho, and we're moving toward Ai. And now Joshua is moving toward Ai, and he's wanting to take Ai. Well, within this process of going from Jericho to Ai, someone pocketed the treasure. A man by the name of Achan actually dipped in and individually pocketed and did not deposit what he was supposed to. And because of this, ultimately, Israel lost. Israel was defeated. Now, in chapter number 7, we see Israel defeated. And this defeat is something totally different than what has been happening in the life of Israel since Joshua has been leading them. Again, crossed the Jordan River, erected the monument, entering Canaan land, experienced Canaan's blessings, took Jericho. But now they're defeated. Now there's a loss in place here. Now Joshua has suffered his first defeat. Joshua and Israel were doing so well. And the question is, what happened and why did it happen? We know what happened. We know the treasury was taken or the accursed thing was taken. But why did it happen? Where exactly did the children of Israel go wrong? I like what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 says. It says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And so we see that Joshua is leading and it's been victory after victory. And they won Jericho and now they're in Ai and there's this defeat in Ai. I want to take that thought this morning and I want to preach just a few moments on that subject. Defeat at Ai. Defeat at Ai. I got to looking this morning, or actually last night online, about the Coca-Cola business. And I heard once before, but I actually refreshed my memory last night. The Coca-Cola business, and listen to this, the Coca-Cola brand has been around for at least 134 years. America's number one brand. But around 35 years ago, Coke made their biggest blunder. They wanted to energize the brand by recreating it and made New Coke. On April 23rd, 1985, is when this change took place. This change, or this was their first change. In 104 years, they get this idea, well, let's just add to it. Let's change something. Let's make it better than what it is. And so after 104 years of nothing but goodness and positivity and nothing but really what the customer wants, Coca-Cola, they tried to design and make a new Coke. And what they did was they changed the dynamics of the sugar. And when they did this, 35 years ago, it sent off a firestorm. And immediately, they changed it back in 79 days to Coca-Cola Classic. That's why it's Coca-Cola Classic. I never knew that. Isn't that amazing? It was Coca-Cola for 134 years. And so they had this long duration of success. And then someone had a wild idea. Let's make it more. And they almost lost everything. So much is this story about Joshua and Israel. Listen, I know we can't win them all. I know there's going to be some defeats along the way of life. But this morning, there is something that we can glean from this story. I mean, there was something that took place. Joshua was leading Israel, and they were told not to take of the accursed thing. And because they did, it didn't just affect Achan, but it affected the whole tribe. I mean, it affected all of Israel. And as a result of Achan's sin, Achan and his family were burned and stoned and placed under a heap of stones. Now, that's Old Testament stuff. Okay? But what we can glean from the death of Achan is that that was also a monument of stones. But the monument of stones, when they crossed the Jordan River, that was what God could do with obedience. Now, this monument of stones is what people can do with disobedience. Remember Lot's wife? When she was escaping Sodom and Gomorrah, and she looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. She was a heap. She was a heap of salt. She was a monument of disobedience. She was looking back to her possessions. She was looking back to that wicked city. And this morning, when it comes to the defeat of Ai, there's just some things that we can glean. I mean, Israel was on a roll. Israel was doing great. Israel was experiencing victory after victory, success after success. But there are some things in this story that we can glean from. And I want to share a few with you, as long as time permits. Number one, I want you to notice, Israel suffered defeat at Ai, number one, because there was no inquiry of the Lord to take Ai. Number one, there was no inquiry of the Lord to take Ai. Now look back in chapter number 6 in verse number 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. In this verse, we see God was with Joshua, and Joshua had fame. Joshua had fame because of his courage with God. Joshua had fame because his wisdom with God. And so his fame was spreading about his trust with God and his walk with God. And God was with Joshua. Look at chapter number 7 and verse number 1. But that word but is there for a reason. In fact, it's the first but in this list of victories that has taken place since Joshua has been in leadership. And so chapter 6, verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his family was, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so what's taking place here is that Joshua's fame is being circulated. And at the same time, God is angry with Israel because someone in the camp disobeyed. Now, look at verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Wait a minute. Beforehand, in chapter 1, we had God's voice there. Joshua, cross over Jordan and take Canaan. Joshua, be not dismayed. Be encouraged. Chapter number 2, there's the spies that were sent out. But chapter number 3, God's audible voice was there with Joshua. Joshua, go up to the river Jordan. Make sure you have the Levites carrying the ark. Chapter number 4, Joshua, erect these stones, a monument of what I can do. Chapter number 5, the circumcision, the end of the manna, the beginning of the fruit. Chapter number 6, Joshua, I want you to march around 7 times the walls of Jericho. On the 7th day, I want you to march 7 more times. The walls fell. Victory there. But in chapter number 7, God is not given direction. God is angry. God is not telling Joshua to even go view anything in Ai. And so Joshua is not inquiring of the Lord at this time. His fame is being spread. The Lord, no doubt, is with Joshua. But again, in verse number 1, there's a but there. The children of Israel committed this sin. And because of that, the Lord is angry. There is no check in Joshua's spirit to pause and say, hold on, wait a minute. The Lord didn't give me no direction here. Wait just a second. Wait just a second. This isn't like last time. Last time God spoke to me, there's nothing here. And I want you to notice this progression. In verse number 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Verse number 4 and verse number 5 records Israel's defeat. What am I saying here? I'm simply saying that God was not ready for Joshua nor the men to go up to Ai, because the Lord had said if anybody were to take anything within Jericho of the accursed things, that I will not be with you. I will not enable you. And so now these men that Joshua had sent, they came back in verse number 3 and said, listen, we ain't got to send everybody we have. Just only a few thousand. And so they came back with incorrect information. They came back trusting in themselves. They came back, and listen, all the while Joshua's popularity and all these things circulating, there's no inquiry of the Lord here. I want to say this morning, sometimes we suffer defeat because we do not inquire of the Lord in life. Joshua's voice, listen, God's voice was there, gave the green light with all these other things, crossing Jordan, the monument of stones, the circumcision, Jericho. There was no voice here to proceed. Joshua plainly did not ask. Joshua just went for it. Sometimes in life we end up in situations of defeat because we just do not inquire of the Lord. Joshua did not ask. Now in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, we do see the voice of God saying, go up to Ai. But you see, it's paramount that Joshua understood that he must check in with God, because there was a reason why God wasn't saying go up, because there was sin in the camp. And so Joshua did not inquire when he should have. God spoke to him before, spoke to him continuously. But now, let us always be careful to check in with God. Doesn't matter how many times we've done something. Doesn't matter how many times God has came through in a particular situation. Doesn't matter how many times we've sang a song a certain way, gave a testimony a certain way, preached a sermon a certain way, went to work a certain way, done something a certain way. Let us always, always inquire of the Lord. Because if we do not, many times it ends in defeat. There was no inquiry of the Lord to take Ai. And that's why Israel suffered defeat at Ai. Let me mention something else. Not only that, but Israel suffered defeat at Ai because of independent thinking. Again, in verse number 3, and I was kind of getting at it a moment ago. But in verse number 3, The men returned to Joshua saying, only 3,000 men are needed for battle, for they are but a few. Look at verse number 3 again. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Wait a minute. If you look at chapter number 8 and verse number 25, you'll find out that there was actually 12,000 in Ai. There were 12,000 men and women and people of war in Ai. But these men that Joshua sent, they said, only a few will do. It's a few. We don't have to send everybody. We don't have to give it everything we have because there's only a few. Well, that is not right information. There was 12,000 there. And you see, in life, when we get to a place where we think we have it, we have this independent thinking, I don't have to give everything I have to God. Listen, you are setting yourself up for failure. We have this independent thinking where, well, I can just wing another sermon. I can just wing another lesson. I can wing another song. You know, I can just wing another prayer. I don't have to give everything I have. No, listen, sometimes God allows us to wing ourselves sometimes. And sometimes He allows us to fall flat upon our face. Listen, you're looking at one who has wung it at times. And you're looking at one who has failed. Oh, Lord, listen. Oh, God, you know about my wicked. You know, Lord, I don't have to give it everything I got. I don't like having to wing and wong. Listen, God deserves everything I have. He deserves everything you have. And this lesson from Ai, what we can glean this morning is simply this, is do not trust in ourselves. Joshua did not have the green light to go spy out the land. Joshua did not have the green light to attack the land. And he sent some men to spy out the land that were not called to spy out the land, that were not anointed to spy out the land. And listen, you got to be careful who you trust to do the things you ask. Because Joshua sent these men on a mission. He trusted in them. And they let them down. Listen, in leadership, we all got to trust one another, and we do. Praise the Lord. There's a tightly knitted leadership here and staff, and we got a close church. I praise the Lord for that. But even outside of church, when it comes to families and friends, you've got to trust who you're asking to do things. You've got to trust who you're sharing your heart with. Joshua thought he could trust these men. They came back and said, there's only a few. That's a lie. There was 12,000 there. And because of their report, the Bible says that, well, at least 36 of the Israelites were killed. And because of their report, in verse number 5, that latter part of that verse says this, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They gave a false report. In Israel, 36 of their men died. Now there's fear in the hearts of Israel. They were led to a battle they shouldn't have been in. Let me say this morning, choose your battles wisely. Make sure God is leading you. If you are in a battle this morning and you know God by His providence has led you there, that's one thing. If you are in a battle this morning and you're not sure if God has led you there or not, I want to tell you, you better hit your knees and start praying. Because if someone has misguided you, if someone has said something to you that's not true, if you have confided in somebody and they have led you astray, if you have made a bad decision and you are at a place in your life and it's not good, it's not a good place, it's going to be a place of defeat. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's so. It's going to be a place of fear. It's going to be a place of worry when God's not in it. It's going to be a place of running from your enemies. It's going to be a place of, again, defeat and worry and all the things that follow that. Because when God leads you somewhere, God guides, God provides. Doesn't mean we're not going to experience the emotions of an attack. Again, like Miss Amanda said earlier, doesn't mean that we're not going to experience that. But there's a difference between walking in God's will and a lion, tiger, or bear coming up, and, oh God, please get that out of my way, then waking up in the morning not sure if you're in God's will or not. Anxiety so hard in your heart, in your mind, worry and fear. Feel like you're going to lose everything. That's not from God. That's not from God at all. And you see, there was a self-reliance. I got it. Joshua thought he had it. And listen, I stand corrected if I'm reading too much into this or if I am totally wrong of this. But Joshua put the cart before the horse. Those men went and they were not the right men to go because they brought a false report back. And because of that, this chain of command ended with the defeat of Israel. Now, Joshua is in a mess. There was independent thinking to take Ai. These men, they were thinking independently. In verse number 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. But they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Lord, help us. Help us all not to be independent, not to be self-sufficient, but always depend on the Lord. Always inquire of Him in everything we do. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 10, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Joshua and his men were in this frame of mind at this particular time with all the fame being spread and all the miracles that had happened. Did not check in with God. Joshua's fame is circulating. And possibly pride and self-sufficiency, independency has taken over. Sometimes we survey our life at where we're at now and we say, maybe not audibly, but if we're not careful, we can say, look what I've done. Look where I'm at. Look what I've done with my life. All of us need to guard our hearts, starting with me, from being independent from God and to know it's Him that has done all the great things He's done. Let me mention something else and we're going to be through. Not only this defeat in Ai had to do with independent thinking. It had to do with no inquiry of the Lord. But then, of course, it had to do with intentional sin at Ai. Again, in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, you can read or just follow along, but we do see there that Joshua finally got the green light to pursue Ai, chapter 8, verse 1. But it was after the accursed thing, the sin, was taken care of. Listen to this. Look at chapter 7 and verse 21. In chapter 7 and verse 21, we see that the man that actually did this, that took of these things, was a man named Achan. And three things, at least, no, four things took place in the life of Achan. Three of those things took place in verse 21. In verse number 21, the Bible says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And so Achan said, number one, I saw something I wanted. And after he saw, he coveted what he saw. You see, there's a progression here. He saw it, and he wanted it. Number three, he saw it, he wanted it, he took it. There's four things in this verse. He saw it, he wanted it, he took it, and he hid it. And so this is taking place in the camp of God. And so God is saying, no, we're not moving forward. We are not moving forward because there is sin in the camp. And the man is Achan. Of course, we know that there was a confession here. In verse number 19, Joshua speaks to Achan, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. And I want to say that normally is the process of sin when it's fully developed. It's when something is seen and something is coveted, then it's taken. Sin always brings forth death. We know out of Romans chapter number 6 in verse 23, there's eternal death for payment of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But in the book of James in chapter number 1, in verse number 14 and 15, also deals with sin and death. And just to paraphrase, James says in that particular chapter and verses that when it is finished, brings obstacle in the life of the believer. Sin, once it is looked upon and coveted after and taken in, it brings obstacle in our life. And when obstacles are in our life, it hinders our relationship with God. And not only does it hinder us in our relationship with God, but those who our lives touch, it hinders their lives in relationships with God. No man that sins lives and dies to themselves, you see. Remember what I said earlier about the New Testament and what Paul says about the body of Christ. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit of sin, it has the ability to swell within the church if not taken care of. Just a little bit. It has the potential, if it goes unchecked or untaken care of, it has the potential to swell and spread to the church. And so Achan had to be taken care of in the Old Testament way, that is. The end result is not fruit but death. So we see because of Achan's sin, it affected the whole army. Because of Achan's sin, or because of Achan's disobedience, the people had no courage to fight. No courage to fight. Look in chapter 7 and verse number 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They had no courage to fight. And this exactly is what the Lord said would happen. If I were to interpret that in New Testament Christianity 2020, I would say it still applies to everyday living. Disobedience never produces courage to go with God. Anytime there's disobedience, it always causes us to retreat on God. Disobedience does not equal courage to go on with God. Why do you think Adam and Eve in the garden, they went and hid themselves with fig leaves? And so this was the situation. Verse number 12, he says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. They were doomed. Not saying everybody, but one reason why some are not at church is because they feel guilty when they come to church. is because they're not done with what they're doing out there. But the whole truth of the matter is this. If they were to lay that down and repent of it, God will give them courage to fight and not accept and have things as they are in their life. They could live a life of joy, a life of victory. But the reason why a lot of people are not standing today is because they've given up spiritually, because there's things in their life. We can't see them. They may be hid like Achan's was. And if we're not careful, listen, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday morning crowd of Calvary Baptist Church. But if we're not careful, some of those things can not only affect us, but our families. It can get in the church. We may think we got it hid, but it comes out and it shows. And so this morning we see that there was intentional sin while trying to take AI. I never like ending messages on such occasion, but the truth of the matter is, we told you about the victory last Sunday. They took Jericho, but this Sunday they were defeated at AI. But that is the Christian life at times. We go from victory to defeat. We go from good times to bad times. And this morning you may be here and you may be having a mountaintop experience. You may be in the valley. Nobody's here to judge. We're all here to get help. And so this morning I urge you to come in just a moment and do business with the Lord. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you would just take these words, Lord, that we've done our best to share from a heart of love and apply them to those who need them the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.